We might just wait just for Alison to get back on and then we'll go from there, I think. Is that all right, girls?
Yeah, that's fine. And the question that you were just asking, Cam, it'll come up in the start of our little chat anyway, so we can always cover it then. Okay, everybody happy? We're all good to go?
Yeah, I am.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our discussion. Please be aware that we will be recording this session. However, if you wish to ask a question without being recorded, then there will be an opportunity to do so at the end. The focus of our learning event is internet safety. We have chosen this subject in recognition that today's children are accessing technologies earlier than ever before. Along with this comes the responsibility to ensure that they are able to do so safely. As pre-service teachers, we recognise that we are well placed to promote internet safety directly with both parents and children. But to do this, we need to ensure we have relevant and up-to-date understanding of the issues surrounding internet safety. To help us achieve this, we are very pleased to be able to welcome our expert for this evening. And now we'd like to introduce you to Detective Senior Constable Cameron Woodall from Task Force Argos Child Safety and Sexual Crime Group. Welcome, Cam, and thanks for taking the time to join us in our discussion.
Yes, hello, everybody, and thanks for the opportunity. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks, Cam. Before we move on to our questions, would you mind briefly just describing your role for everybody?
Yes, no problem. My role at Task Force Argos at the moment is I'm classed as what's called an online investigator. Generally speaking, we are online in most of the social media networks. What we do is, the best way to put it is to purport to be young children on the internet, and we also look for online pedophile networks and things like that. We generally do proactive or reactive investigations. That is, we'll get information from the public or from other police that a particular person is of interest, or alternatively, we'll go out there on the net and try and target particular groups or particular people that we are looking for. So that's what we do here at Task Force Argos.
Thanks, Cam. That sounds really interesting and relevant as well to lots of us coming up to being teachers. One final reminder to everybody, before we open to questions, while we are really keen to see everyone actively engaged in this discussion, could we please remember to consider the rules of etiquette? We need to speak clearly and in turn and show respect for the views of others. We'll take questions one at a time. That way, we'll all have an opportunity to respond to any questions Cam has made before we move on to the next question. If we have a question that we'd like to share, please click on the small tab with a hand on it. We'll come to you in turn, but please, if you could remember to introduce yourself before asking any questions. Without any further ado, if someone would like to start us off with a question. Hi, Pam. If you have a question for Cam, that would be great.
Hi, Cam. My name's Pam. I'm actually one of the students with these the ladies doing this research. Obviously, the traditional role of the police officers have changed immensely due to increased advances in technology. So approximately how many police officers statewide or federally are actually focusing on like e-crime?
Wow. I don't know how many police officers federally would be doing this kind of stuff because I'm a state officer, so I work for the Queensland Police Service. I do know that in Task Force Argos itself, there's probably it changes a little bit, but anywhere between 20 and 30 officers doing this kind of work. The Crime and Misconduct Commission have some officers as well doing this kind of work. They're based in Queensland. Some of them are based in Queensland. So, but federally, that's not a question. Oh, sorry, not an answer I can give you, but I can certainly answer for state stuff.
Thank you.
Okay, Lisa, would you like to go ahead?
Hi, Cam. My name's Lisa, and I'm just wondering if you have much to do with schools in respect to do with e-crime and internet safety.
Yeah, Lisa, we do actually do a fair bit of work in schools all around the state, actually. We'll go into a lot of schools and give presentations and talks to all of the students. We have what's called a Surf Safely program that we deliver quite regularly to students both in primary and high school. We also have what's called Who's Chatting to Your Kids? Now, that's a presentation that we give to lots of PNCs, to a lot of parents, just to give them some sort of information and arm them with some info about what's happening and the latest stuff that's going on at the moment. And so we do that in both primary and secondary schools, and fairly regularly either they'll give us a call and say, look, we've got a bit of a problem that's happening in our school, or we'll go around the schools and set up different chats with different grades.
That's really good. What sort of grades do you start with?
Generally speaking, we wouldn't talk to the little kids in preps and ones, twos, threes, but I've done them, most of mine have been sort of what I would call middle school and higher. So probably from, and this is just what ones I've done, probably from sort of grade 5 and 6 up, so around 10, I suppose.
Do you have an opinion of when it should start? Like, do you think it should start in grade 5 and 6 and up or earlier?
Look, I don't think that there's a particular age. It all depends mainly on the child as well. Most of our stuff, that all the presentations we give are from sort of what you call middle school up. But you know, I know that even younger kids are on different social networking and Moshi Monsters and all that sort of stuff fairly early these days. So, you know, it's all how much the parents access or how much access the parents want to give them.
Yeah, so I suppose you would, as soon as you start giving them access, that's when the education should start.
Yeah, very much so, mate. It all depends on how many, you know, and what the, sorry, not how many, what media they're using and what different sites they're on. You know, some of the sites don't have too much access to other people, but other ones, I know kids that are on like Xbox and all those sort of online gaming sites that just have piles and piles and piles of friends that they wouldn't even know who they are, so. That's when you sort of start talking to the kids. And we rely a lot on parents, arming the parents with information and getting them to talk to their kids a lot as well.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Hi, Cam. It's the other Lisa. I was wondering if I could just nip in there with a quick question to follow on from what you've just been talking about.
Absolutely. What would you like to know?
Just really from my personal experience, when you were talking about you sort of go in with, you know, an older age group that you're working with, obviously we do concentrate a lot on early childhood, but I know a lot of the children, even 3 to sort of 6-year-olds, they're all accessing a lot of, like you say, the very early social networking sites like Club Penguin and Moshi Monsters. Now, I know a lot of it are down to the parents, but I just wondered what regulations are in place with these kind of sites to sort of, you know, just from your point of view, whether you have any regulations on that kind of thing?
No, a lot of these sites are run out of the US, so we don't have much say in what their regulations are or anything like that. But, you know, we try and work fairly closely with the regulators or with the administrators of all these sort of sites. Moshi Monsters is pretty good in relation to, they have fairly strict controls on what happens there. But even so, I mean, I can't go into detail, of course, but we have had a number of jobs in Moshi Monsters with, you know, people complaining or people speaking to the police about things that have been going on there. So there's no real, we can't really tell these sites or, you know, try and get these sites to change certain things for, you know, Australian users as such, but we try to work fairly closely with them to try and get their information and access out of them to try and identify any people that do allegedly commit offences on those sites. But for us, you know, things like Facebook, I can see there, Julie was saying that seven-year-olds want Facebook pages. We know, we run into jobs that, you know, quite young children have been given Facebook pages. And I know that, you know, you're supposed to be 13 before you actually have a Facebook page, but parents are signing up their own kids at, you know, 11 and 12. So it's very hard for us to police that sort of stuff.
No, that's great information. Thank you. Just very quickly, though, sort of going on from there again, sorry. If you're sort of saying that a lot of the the initiatives now then are targeted to sort of middle schooling, is that something that then the teachers could do more of? If obviously the access isn't there from your side of things, could the teachers be doing something more specific with the younger children maybe?
Look, our main aim with all this sort of stuff is if any child is using any of these social media sites, our main sort of push that we say to them is you should never have a friend you don't personally know. You know, a lot of these kids have Facebook pages with, you know, up to 2,000 friends on them, and for sure these kids don't know up to 2,000 people. So any friend requests they get or anything like that, they just add them. So our main sort of information we try and give to kids is if you don't know who that person is, they shouldn't be your friend or they shouldn't have access to any of your pages. So that's the main thing that we try and tell them. And but little kids, you know, with Moshi Monsters and stuff like that, we don't find that as much, or with those younger sites, these kids are only just having their friends as friends. So it's not such a major concern for us as such, if that made any sense. I hope it did.
No, that's great. Thanks very much, Cam. I just wondered, does anybody else have a question? Okay, Lisa?
I'm just wondering what Moshi Monsters is. It sounds like a social media website for smaller children.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I mean, it's a site where you have like a pet monster that you do certain things with, but it has like notice boards and stuff like that where people can send messages to each other and interact with each other that way. So it's something that's sort of targeted for the younger generation. I haven't had a huge amount to deal with it, but I have done a couple of jobs where people have been targeted on there, or children have been targeted. So, but it's really specifically for younger kids.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. Just by the name of it, it sounds like it's for, you know, from prep to grade five or something.
I don't think it's prep to grade five. I was looking at it just before, just to try and have a bit of information about it. But most of, you know, I've had some kids with, you know, 8, 9 and 10 that have got that are on there. So I wouldn't suggest that it would be little like prep ones and twos, but certainly after that, certain kids are definitely using it.
Thank you. I've learned something new.
No, that's all right. They've got a very good terms and conditions, and they're very, very good on their side in relation to being respectful, not breaking the rules, you know, and they even have on their side not to give out information about yourself. They're telling the kids not even to put their real names on there. So it's very, very good. It's one of the better ones out there.
Me again, Cam, it's Lisa. Again, you know, I think as well from my perspective, I've got an older child and he's just 10 and he's Skyping his friends while he's playing online games. And we're finding it really difficult to restrict the amount of time that he's on there when he's having such peer pressure from his friends. You know, I just wondered if you had any opinions on that really.
Look, yeah, we have jobs. I've had one just recently with something very, very similar in relation to Xbox Live gaming, where kids are coming home from school from 4 o'clock. They're on till 9 o'clock at night, you know, just about every day of the week. So what we say to them is, I mean, yeah, it's cool to be playing games with people who are very good at these games, but as I said before, the main thing we try and tell them is you should not have a contact or a friend or anyone that you're Skyping or talking to that is not a personal friend of yours. That's our main information we try and give to them, because these guys or these people that try and get into these groups of kids, they will, you know, they'll use any way possible to get into it. So, and hence we get involved then. So the main thing we say to them is make sure you know everybody on your list.
Yeah, absolutely. And we keep a really close eye on him. But even still, we're finding things coming through on the Skype chat that, you know, aside of other issues, but it's more unacceptable language and things that we wouldn't use on there. So it's quite difficult to keep tabs on everything that goes on there.
Absolutely. It's, you know, that and Facebook are our, cause a lot of concern to us, put it that way.
Thanks, Cam. We're going to hand over to Alison now.
Hi, Cam. Alison here. I just was wondering, do you think there is more that Skype and Facebook could be doing to make them safer?
Skype and Facebook are, I mean, they are very helpful to law enforcement anyway. They do have, you know, representatives in most countries. We have a Facebook legal person that in Australia that we deal with quite regularly. So, you know, they are very good in relation to pulling down offensive stuff. They are very good about kicking people off. But the problem is people are, you know, so far or so technically advanced these days, they know how to get around a lot of the issues that if you're identified as, you know, being a troll or something like that on Facebook, they'll get around having their IPs or their IP addresses canned or blacklisted off sites. They'll get around that very, very quickly. So the issue is not really with Facebook, but it's with everybody else reporting these things, because they will drag them down fairly quickly if other people report it, or even if the police contact them. So they are, I'm not going to say that, you know, they're good or bad, but we do get good assistance out of them, put it that way.
Well, there you go. I didn't know that they had legal teams everywhere, so learn something every day.
I don't know if they have legal teams everywhere, but Australia's certainly got one, and we've only got, 24 million people, so we have a person that we deal with fairly regularly, and they are very, very helpful to law enforcement all around Australia. So I can't say, you know, too many bad things about Facebook, to tell you the truth.
Lisa, you have a question?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, Cam, just about things like... So I'm wondering if you think, well, I sort of think, but I did also think the children have been given too much access before learning the correct way to engage in these sites. Like they're putting their photos on and not realizing that they're putting it out there, creating maybe a negative digital footprint.
Yeah, look, absolutely. One of the big things we say is, especially with Facebook pages and stuff like that, they're putting stuff out there and they don't realise that this stuff's there forever. Now, even if you pull it down, it still can be located on the internet somewhere. So we try and let them know that anything inappropriate you put up there, or even identifiable things on your Facebook pages, like pictures of yourselves in school uniforms, dates of birth, all that sort of stuff, and schools you go to, we try and tell them to pull that sort of stuff down and just be fairly benign in your profiles, simply because you become too identifiable and too easy to locate. Plus the fact, like I said before, that once it's up there, it's on the net, it's there forever. So, you know, I can see in a period of time that, you know, it's going to be part of your, you know, job interviews and stuff like that. You know, what silly stuff did you put on Facebook a period of time ago?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's really, I suppose, very commonplace now for people, for especially younger people, just to put everything they do on there.
Look, yeah, and places like McDonald's and stuff like that, they're actually doing checks on Facebook now when people apply. And I think it's going to be quite commonplace fairly soon. So I don't know. It's something these kids need to be informed about before they start putting silly things up there.
Lisa, is that your question? Okay, that's Pam then, please.
Hi, it's just Pam back again. I've just got a question. Most risks are caused by like poor security and lack of education concerning what happens when people are using the internet. So what are some examples of becoming a victim? Like obviously there's the main ones of like you can get viruses into computers, or there's things like child sexual assaults. But what are some other examples that can make you a victim?
I'm not really sure what you mean, but are you talking about having offences committed against children? Is that the sort of thing you're talking about?
Just people in general, you know, just different examples of, you know, of people becoming victims, you know, just if you have any examples for us.
Not really. Most of the stuff we do, we're the children as such, but the kind of stuff that we're doing is, you know, what they call exposed offences, where people are exposing who they believe to be children to, you know, indecent material, indecent chat, text, all that sort of stuff. We don't do like online identity theft or online fraud or anything like that here. So our focus is purely child sex offences. That's the stuff that we do. Is that the sort of thing you're talking about?
Yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah. Thank you.
No, you're welcome. No worries.
Lisa, would you like to go ahead?
Yeah, sure. I was just wondering, Cam, how common is that?
How common is what, sorry?
Like, just how common do you get these offences reported?
Oh, we're busy. We're constantly getting referrals from all around the state and interstate. We also get a lot of international referrals from the United States. We deal with NCMEC a lot, which is the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children in the US. So we'll get referrals internationally, plus we'll get national referrals fuss we'll get, like, people coming into any police station in Queensland to report that sort of stuff. And then we'll also get our own jobs that we are doing, which are our proactive type work, in that we're having people commit offences against our own profiles here.
Oh, okay. So it would be very common, like you would have reports coming in quite a few every day.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really comment on numbers or anything like that. But yeah, we are constantly getting referrals from all over the place. That's the best way of putting it. So much so that, you know, we are running around a lot. We are very busy.
Yeah, I think that just kind of highlights how important it is that, you know, people like us as pre-service teachers are more involved and aware of what's going on. I know we've come up with, we noticed there's a cyber safety course that's now opening up to pre-service teachers. And I think it's all this issue of everybody being more aware, especially in the position that that teachers are obviously in, working so closely with the children.
Yeah, I mean, for us, the people that we rely along a lot is are obviously the parents. I see a couple of you guys have been saying that, you know, you've got, you know, kids and stuff like that. So we rely a lot on parents to be aware and not have their heads sort of stuck in the sand in relation to what's actually happening out there in the internet, because it is evolving so quickly that you know, parents need to be aware of what's going on and what is available out there and how easy it is to access the internet on so many different types of devices. So, and then also, yes, the schools and any of the other programs that are out there trying to, you know, just educate the kids about what's going on and that there is dangers out there, because, you know, a lot of them, you know, believe they're 10 foot tall and bulletproof and this isn't going to happen to them.
That's so very true, Cam. Thank you. I'm going to pass over to Lisa now.
Just while we're on the topic of schools, Cam, I was just wondering what would be the most common problem that you would get a phone call about from relating to the school environment?
Sort of the most common stuff we get is, I suppose, you've got a lot of cyberbullying that we deal with. A lot of those tribute sites on Facebook and things like that that people get on and really abuse for no particular reason. There isn't something, you know, there isn't one that sort of stands out from the rest. We get a lot of, we do a lot of pretty well exclusively child sex offences here, so we get a lot of complaints about that sort of stuff. So I can't really say too much specifics about it as such, as but I'm sure you realise, because a lot of this stuff's confidential, but you know, there's a lot of different things going on, and we just sort of try and be around all of it, I suppose.
Yeah, sure. I would think that cyberbullying would be a common heartache for students and a common thing for police and schools to collaborate on.
It's not something, we get a lot of reports of it, but it's not something that we can do a hell of a lot about here, simply because our focus is not specifically bullying as such, but we try and let the person who's reporting it know and direct them to a lot of different sites and a lot of different places to assist with that sort of stuff. And I will say that a lot of the schools are very good in relation to that sort of stuff and shut it down fairly quick too. So. Yeah, that's in relation to bullying. It's it is really, really prevalent out there.
Oh, that's good to hear.
We are going to start to think about coming to a close soon, as I'm sure Cam is really busy. But if anybody has any questions now that we haven't already touched on, then I'll just wait and see for a moment. Okay, it doesn't look as if there are any more questions. What I'd like to say now is thank you so much, everyone, for your contributions. It's been a really interesting and enlightening discussion. I'd now just like to say one extra special thank you to Cam for his great advice and for the time he's kindly offered us. I'm sure everyone would agree he has really deepened our understanding of internet safety, and he's offered us valuable tips that we can apply to our teaching practice. And we're now just about to turn off the recording. Thank you, everyone, once again, and in particular, thank you, Cam.
You're welcome, everybody. It was my pleasure to give you as much info as I could.
Thank you very much, Cam.
No problems at all, everyone. I don't know if we're done or not, but if you could just let me know, and if you've got any more questions, I'm happy to answer some more now, but I'm sure you guys are as busy as we are too, so thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much, Cam. We really appreciate it. And then we'll let you get back to work. Thank you again.
Absolutely welcome. No problem.